Well, let's start at the beginning. Cab Calloway was, to a certain extent, born from the ashes of the old Wilmington High School, which struggled with enrollment during school desegregation. What happened there?
Well, if you go back to the late 1980s, early 1990s, under the desegregation order that was in effect, students had to spend three of their 12 years in schools located in Wilmington. And the Red Clay District was required to have one high school in the city, and that turned out to be Wilmington High. School assignments at the time were made by well-defined attendance zones, and the zone for Wilmington High included a number of blue-collar areas just outside the city where many residents were opposed to desegregation. These parents enrolled their children in private or parochial schools rather than send them to Wilmington High. The school's enrollment dwindled. A building that was built to serve 1,700 students saw its population drop to under 300. The Red Clay School Board kept tweaking the attendance zones, but nothing seemed to work. And they decided that they would have to make some changes.
And that opened the door to try something new. Is there a reason why a performing arts school was at the forefront of that decision to try something different at Wilmington High School?
Well, this was before the state laws passed that created charter schools and the choice program. So as a result, the option that Red Clay tried was the magnet school, creating a school that would appeal to students with specific interests. At the high school level in the Wilmington High building, they created a banking and finance program and a science and math program, and something called the Phoenix Academy, which followed some learning principles that were considered innovative at the time. But there was still plenty of room in the school, and a number of school board members and parents started talking up the idea of devoting a wing to a middle school for a creative and performing arts program. A group made a couple of trips to New York City to see a successful program in Harlem in late 1991, early 1992, and what they saw at that school in Harlem just totally sold them on the concept.
But the school, when it actually started, its beginnings were pretty humble, right?
Well, absolutely. It was kind of a rush job. I mean, they started in February. They were opening a new school in September. The books didn't arrive until just before the classes started. The first library was in a closet, and that wasn't even ready until 3 or 4 weeks after school started. The students were a really odd mix, too. Some of them were passionate about the arts. Some of them thought it would be a breeze just to go to a school where they might be able to sing and dance all day long. And there were other students that you might charitably call behavior problems that officials at the schools where they had been attending were happy to suggest that, you know, maybe you guys ought to go and attend the new performing arts school.
So what helped the school get the initial lift it needed to get off the ground, to succeed where some of the other ones that you mentioned were tried around that time that didn't work, that failed?
Well, there are a couple of key things. One, a dedicated group of parents who got behind the school. They participated not only in the planning, but in the actual setup of the classrooms and the offices. You know, they were scrubbing the floors and making sure the paper towels and everything were in the bathrooms. All of that sort of stuff. So the parents were intensely involved right from the start. Then there's the Red Clay School Board, which realized that it might have to treat this school just a little bit differently, give its leaders a little bit more flexibility, a little bit more elbow room as they started to operate. And associated with that was a decision to give the school its own board of directors. So the Red Clay Board still had overall control, but this board of directors, which was comprised of parents and community leaders, provided most of the early guidance. Finally, the school attracted the attention of Cabella Calloway Langsam, who was the daughter of the legendary entertainer Cab Calloway, who was then living in Cokesbury Village community in Hokesson. Ms. Langsam joined the school's board of directors, and she provided some excellent guidance, some financial support as well, and she was instrumental in the decision a year later to have the school named after her father.
And that certainly brought them to a certain level of success, at least that initial success. But after that initial success in getting the middle school off the ground, the next bump in the road, that came with the move to add a high school to the mix. What were some of the challenges with adding that high school piece to the puzzle?
Well, again, parents were pleased with the middle school. Some of them wanted their children to be able to follow this arts-infused academic pathway. Once again, the school was rather quickly put together. The curriculum was fairly basic. You had English 1, English 2, English 3, English 4, but there weren't any honors or advanced placement classes. And it was the same with the science, the same with the math, the same with the social studies. So this lack of rigor disappointed some of the families at the start. And rather than keep their students in the new high school, their children in the new high school, they moved them to other red clay schools or perhaps on to private schools. You've got to realize this was a pretty confusing time for the Newcastle County Public School System. Anyway, the requirements of the desegregation order were being removed. The choice program was just getting started. The Charter Schools Act was passed, and there was a lot of controversy over the Neighborhood Schools Act, which would have brought kids back essentially into attendance zones closer to their own homes. All of this was going on, and in this context, it was really hard to start something new or to expand a program and to be able to keep yourself focused on. There was just so much stuff going on that the odds against being able to do something new and succeed with it were a little bit long.
So ultimately, how did they wind up overcoming those challenges and being successful despite that climate?
Well, fair to say the school muddled for a couple of years. The first senior class had only 29 graduates. As I indicated, this was so small that they couldn't justify adding the challenging academic classes because there just weren't enough students to take them. Now, comes the summer of 1999, and there's a vacancy in the school's leadership position. Red Clay goes out and hires Julie Rumschlag. She had been an assistant principal at Christiana High School at the time. And no sooner did she step in the door when she had a meeting with the superintendent and the school board president and the president of the board of directors, and they pretty much gave her an ultimatum. Essentially, they said, you shape up this high school or we're going to close it. But they also gave her a good amount of support. For example, they hired more teachers than were justified under the state's unit count so that they could beef up the curriculum. Over the years, they would do other things to improve the building. They put an art gallery in the lobby. They gutted the old Wilmington High Auditorium right down to the dirt in the subsurface and then transformed it into a state-of-the-art theater that's equipped not only to host performances, but also to train the students not only in acting, but also in the technical aspects of theater, the soundboards and the curtains and, you know, all that good stuff. Meanwhile, that school's board of directors had morphed into something new, something called the Cab Calloway School Fund. This was a nonprofit that would raise substantial funds to provide expensive items like the pianos that weren't in the school budget and even to hire a couple of staff members. Put it all together, and pretty soon Julie Rumschlag's got this school running about as precisely as the Rockettes dance line at the Radio City Music Hall.
And at the same time, this is about the time that the Charter School of Wilmington moved into the old Wilmington High School along with CAB. How did that kind of play into solidifying CAB and its success?
Well, it would take a few years, but eventually CAB and Charter would fill up the building. CAB with 940 students in grades 6 through 12, and Charter with more than 700 in 9 through 12. So there's lots of vibrancy there. Now, the kids have different interests. Charter, of course, is focused on science and math, but the two schools really feed off each other. They sometimes see each other in class because CAB students can take Charter classes if there's a vacancy in one of those rooms. And the same works the other way. Occasionally, the Charter students will be able to take a music or a theater or a dance class, whatever, if there's space available. Now, on top of that, CAB students play on Charter's athletic teams. Charter students can join CAB's marching band and try out for roles in school plays.
Which gives them a synergy that certainly benefits both sides. And this kind of helped make CAB the destination it's become, having kind of established that. How do they decide who goes to Cap Calloway School for the Arts? How is it similar, or is it similar to charter schools?
Well, there's some similarities and some things that aren't quite the same, but it's really a mix between what's permitted under charter and under choice. As a magnet school, CAB is allowed to set entry qualifications. So applicants do have to participate in two what they call assessments, which are essentially auditions in subject areas that interest them, whether it's theater or vocal music, instrumental music, dance, whatever. The students who are applying have to take two of these assessments, and the school's faculty member observe them. If they get a qualifying score on the assessment, then they go into a lottery, just like you have with the Choice program. And now, when that happens, there are, of course, like as with Choice, a couple of preferences. About 70% of the seats go to Red Clay students. The school is, after all, in the Red Clay district. And there's priority given to applicants who have a sibling at the school. Now, the process is kind of challenging. As I mentioned, the school has 9 different major areas of study, and there may be 15 seats open in each of those areas each year. So when you start doing the math, about 1 out of every 3 students who applies is actually admitted to the school.
Pretty competitive. From your piece, it's pretty clear that there's kind of a special energy at CAB Callaway. How would you describe the energy that kind of permeates that school?
Well, I spoke to about a half dozen faculty members over the last few days, and universally, they love the place. If there's one word that they use all the time, it's passion or passionate. And they use that to describe themselves. They use it to describe the students. They use it to describe the parents. The students are intent on their work, but they're not terribly intense. I mean, but, you know, they're focused. They take pride in their work. And, you know, there's some things that are somewhat unique. I saw a couple of students taping paper to the walls in the hallway so that they could work comfortably on their art project. There was another student playing the piano in the lobby. And one of the teachers told me, don't be surprised if you see a group of students bursting into song in the middle of the hallway. I mean, it's a little more subdued than a scene in Fame or an episode of Glee, but, you know, you get the idea. That's what it's like at CAB.
And finally, where does CAB Callaway go from here? Is it just a matter of trying to maintain what they're doing now, or are there thoughts of growth or change or things that can be done even better at CAB Callaway?
Well, they're always looking to do more or do better, but the fact is the school is at capacity, so there's not much more room for growth. It's worth noting, though, that the auditorium is used more than 100 times a year by community groups as well as by the school, and CAB does have a summer outreach program which brings younger kids into the building during the summer to learn more about the arts. They've had some graduates already launch promising careers in film, in music, in theater, in dance. So, you know, who knows? Maybe one of these days, one of them will hit it big, maybe become a 21st century CAB Callaway, and perhaps that can spur the school to even greater heights.
Certainly a terrific story, one that I imagine is hard to find in the education world these days.
It's very rewarding to see one like this, that's for sure.